Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this fellowship hour. And as we share fellowship one with another, also fellowship with the Spirit of God, we ask that you move even in our hearts. Let there be a blessing in Jesus' name. The entrance of your word, we know, brings light and giveth understanding to the simple. So let that be the case even on here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the scriptures and the consolation that we get from reading the word of God from time to time. Lord, cause there to be a lifting up and an encouragement to everyone in the room here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. But let's pick up our lesson part two of the reading through Psalm 18. We did that 2 days ago, and here I'm going to finish it up. I believe we read through about verse 29 the last time, and I'm going to finish up the rest of it. But just as a quick overlap, I'm going to start from verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle, Lord. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Let me talk about that for a minute. There are times, and I've said it many times in this room, and always, you know, we can't say it enough. There will be times that we will face moments of darkness. Sometimes some people say it this way, say, well, I was in a dark place. You know, I was in a bad place or this and that. Well, these things, unfortunately, will come. Just like night and day in the seasons of this world. Because from the beginning, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, but he did not rebuke the darkness. And I've often wondered, Lord, why in the world? Because I know the answer. He could have just said, you know, let there be no more darkness, and that would have been the end of it. But lo and behold, he didn't say that. He did, though, command the light to shine out of darkness, but he left also the darkness in place. Besides that, he gave the darkness a name, called it night, and called the light day. And he looked at it and said, everything's good. And scripture says he set the two of them side by side, according to Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, which means the Lord wants the two to be side by side. So we see that we'll have the nights and we'll have the day. We'll have times of being in the light, we think. And then sometimes it looks like we are in the dark. What does that mean? Well, when you are in the light, everything looks good. You're hearing the voice of God and everything is working, you know. And then all of a sudden, sometimes it looks like God's voice is so far away. You can't even hear anything. You cry and it looks like he's not answering. Well, you know, those might be moments that appear that we are in the dark. You know, that's what it looks like. But here is the way that Micah put it. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, he said, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. This man will never stay down for the count. When I sit in darkness, see, this is the part that I want to call out concerning this verse that we're reading today. When I sit in darkness, there will be moments that you sit in that darkness. You know, I mean, he said, the Lord will be a light unto me. You know, we all believe that the Son of Righteousness, according to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, you know, will arise over us from time to time because, you know, we fear the Lord. He said, look, unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And we believe these things. But sometimes when we need healing, the healing doesn't seem to come right away. I mean, why? Or why not? I mean, the Lord already said it will come, you know. And then sometimes when we need an answer from God of peace, we look for peace, but it looks like trouble came. We look for quietness, but it looked like it was on, you know, everything scattered in every direction, you know. And, but the Lord said, you know, hold on now. Just hang in right there. Don't give up and don't give in. You know, your salvation will come. The Lord is coming. And, you know, we can tell ourselves too. You can tell your soul, look, when I sit in darkness, it looks like I can't hear the voice of God. You know, he will be a light unto you. He's coming. The Lord also wants me to tell you that in those moments, remember what he told you when you are in the light. You know, see, when we are in the light is when we're hearing the voice of God and everything is good, you know. And then when you are in the dark, it's like, you know, you can't even hear his voice. But you must remember what he already told you when you were in the light. And we go through these cycles of light and darkness for now. You know, we're in this season now where we can still be going through that. There's coming a time, you know, that we must no longer oscillate between darkness and light. We just, you know, stay in the light, transforming to greater and greater light all the time. And when we completely, when you're completely changed into light, if you can stay with that process, you might just be translated like Enoch. You know, Enoch sought after the Lord, and I believe he was being transformed from light into light into light and into light. And one day, and he was completely light, and he was magnetized into the very light, and he was gone. That's it. You know, the light of God is what we must press toward because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We come in darkness, unfortunately. But Jesus Christ, we are told in the book of John, chapter 1, that he is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. You know, you can read that in John chapter 1, verse 8. He, you know, John said, that, you know, was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself, I mean, John the apostle was talking about John the Baptist, that John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. And then he turned around in verse 9 and talked about that true light, which is Christ. That was the true light which lightened every man that cometh into this world. And Jesus is that light. And Jesus said, look, if you really put your life into my hands and follow me, you will have fewer moments of darkness. According to John chapter 8 and verse 12. And this is how he put it there. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, so in the moments when you do appear to be in darkness, what must you do? Well, you got to look for these scriptures that say you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And you say, well, why am I still in darkness then? When the Lord said I will not walk in darkness, well, then, you know, you continue to claim the word of God. That's it. You claim the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, when it turns out that we are not shining in the light like we should, then it is the time for us to look to the word of God and believe the Lord. Let me read to you here, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and yet walks in darkness and hath no light? I mean, we're talking about light and darkness just from this one verse in Psalm 18. If you fear the Lord, and you are doing the best you can to follow and obey his voice and the voice of his servant, he said, yet you walk in darkness and you have no light. What must you do then? Should you then, you know, fold your arms, you know, and give up and say, well, this God, I don't know about him. He's not answering my prayer and so forth. No. Here's what he said. Let him trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord, and let him stay upon his God. Stay right there. When you think that, well, you know, I'm doing everything I can. The Lord said, I'll be in the light and not in the darkness. But look, look, and behold, light is gone from me. Darkness is all around me. I mean, you know, I'm in a day of trouble. You know, Job, at one time, he felt, you know, so bad, he cursed the day that he was born. You know, now, God forbid that anybody should get down to that state. But if you feel like that, you know, then people like felt like that in throughout the scriptures. Even the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, he would say things like, look, the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because now the man is dead and he doesn't have to worry about evil that's to come. I mean, I wonder why people say stuff like this. Because maybe they've seen evil. They've seen a lot of vanity and a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, the Lord is your stay. Stay right there with the Lord. So let's pick up this reading through these Psalms. You can see there's a lot of lessons to be learned. And we've just read one verse, and it led us into the light and the darkness lesson. So, the Lord is the light of our life. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, you know, in verse 1, he said, look, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And, you know, I'm not going to fear, I'm not going to be afraid, and so on. So let's rejoice in his light. Moreover, again, he said in Psalm 36, you know, and verse 9, he said, in thy light, then in his light, we shall see light. For with thee is the fountain of life, he said. And in thy light, we shall see light. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's not wallow in darkness or think that, you know, darkness. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us darkness cannot continue forever. He said there may be the dark hours, sorrow may endure through the night, which is the dark hours. But in the morning, when the day breaks, we're encouraged to look for the light. The light is coming and joy is also coming. Praise the Lord. So he says, for by thee, Psalm 18 and verse 29, I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. We talked about this yesterday. You know, don't let any roadblocks keep you from getting to where you're going. If the road is blocked, look for a detour. Praise God. You know, that's what people normally do. Nobody in their right mind will say the road is blocked, therefore I'm going to just stay there. Understand? There, there. I'm not going anywhere. Or they turn back and don't go anymore. They will find another way because they need to get to where they're going. And the same thing in the journey of life. There will be roadblocks. There will be walls. There will be troops that might come up against you. What you going to do? It's going to be your answer. Well, this man said, by my God, I run through a troop. You know, and you know, David also had some people around him. They were called David's mighty men. They can run through troops. They can break into the garrison of the Philistines. They can do all these things. I mean, they were powerful. Nothing could stop them. By my God, I leaped over a wall. Now, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, that's a resolution that we need to make in our hearts. You need to be resolved that God's way is perfect. So when you are resolved and you don't understand it, you just, well, Say, well, I know his way is perfect. I mean, I understand it. You know, but whatsoever he doeth, it's perfect because he knows what he's doing. And if I can commit my life into his hands and give him, you know, unquestionable authority and control, if you turn your life over to the Lord, you know, you relinquish your own will, you know, to his will, and we yield to him unreservedly, well, we turn it over and we say, we have irrevocably, you know, now that's irrevocably. You can't turn it over and then regain control. You have to give it over to him irrevocably. We have turned over our lives to the Lord. Let him have control. Then he will be in control. Now, some people like to say that God is in control of everything. Well, I often beg to differ. You know, God can be in control of everything. But if you don't turn certain things over to him, he'll just let you do your thing until you turn it over to him. But when you do turn it over to him, you know, the things, God is absolutely in control of things that have to do with his eternal purpose. He's in control with that. But there are certain aspects of our lives daily that God waits for us to turn it over to him. That's why he says, cast your burden unto the Lord. If you don't cast the burden, then God's not going to come and grab the burden from you. He's going to just, I mean, he will wait. He's giving the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So it's not going to force anybody, but he will draw you by the Spirit of God. He will draw you, you know, by the Word of God. He will draw you by preaching and admonition and different things, but you still got to come. The coming is still yours. And if you don't choose not to come, I mean, if you choose not to come, well, then you won't come, you know. And so we must turn it over to him in order for him to have control. And if God wants to be in the driver's seat and you are struggling the steering wheel with him, that car is going to crash. So you let him have control. You turn it over to him, you know, then you can truly say the Lord is in control. And Jesus standing at the door and knocking in Revelation 3:20, he's not going to kick the door down. You know, this is for people who say things like, oh, God's in control of everything. You know, maybe and maybe not. There are certain things that you have willpower over, and he will be right there. He'll be knocking, waiting for you to open the door. He's not going to force the door open. If you open the door, he said, well, I'll come in unto you. If you don't open the door, well, so be it. That opening of the door is in your hands. You have control, you know, of that door until you open it and give it to him. Now, when you open it and you give it to him, though, and when you come in the house, give him also the master key. If you tell him, look, here's a bunch of keys, but this room over here, you can't go in there. He will not go in there. You know, and that's the trouble with us in our lives. We've turned over our life to the Lord, many of us say, but there's an area of our lives that is a no-go area for the Holy Spirit. The unforgiveness, the bitterness in my heart and all that anger, I cannot turn that over. Yeah, I'm in control of that one. Holy Spirit, stay out of that. I cannot forgive that person. Well, then he can't help you, you know. So let's not just be saying things that, you know, are unscriptural, and then we just be saying them. Debunk that right now. Don't just be saying things like, oh, God is in control of everything. You know, all the hate, the murder, the killing, and all of these things that are happening in the world, God is not in control of that stuff. You know, that devil is the one that's doing that. Jesus said it himself. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't blame God for everything. This concept of God is in control of everything can lead to people blaming God for things. You know, you say God is in control of everything. You know, so when bad stuff happens, they blame it to God. Everything. You know, and people don't take responsibility for their own life and their own actions. But you own your journey and you must own it. But when you turn it over to the Lord, then he will be in control. Hallelujah. That's how it works. You've got to turn it over to him. He's not going to grab it from you. Turn it over to him. Give your life to Christ is what we tell people. Well, why? Well, because and you sit pretty and say, well, you know, I'm Lord of my own life. Well, fine. You know, but when you invite him in, you know, hallelujah, then you give him control. Then he will be in control. Praise the Lord. Now, in the sense that God is in control, well, yeah. In the sense that he has the power, you know, to do certain stuff. He can also put a limit. He can tell the sea, thus far and no further. He can put boundaries on there, you know. But sometimes, you know, the sea will rage and try to cross over that, you know. And God, you know, because of rebellion. See, when God made the earth and the world, everything was in order. The sea, he put the sea, he put them in boundaries, he put the lights, he put everything. Nothing was falling out of place and so on. You know, put all, created the trees. They were all beautiful. There was no wild trees, no wild animals. Everything was good. Everything started to go out of kilter, you know, when Adam lost the glory of God. It was the glory of God. It was like the magnetic force that put everything in place. And when he lost that, well, now we have all these problems. You know, but let's get back to the place where we turn it over to the Lord. But in your heart, you must recognize that his ways are perfect. Even if you don't understand. That's what this verse here is saying. If you don't understand it, still, his way is perfect. You know, now, perfect is his way. Now, perfect may not be what we think, but it's perfect in his eyes. He knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord is dry. He's a buckler for all those that trust in him. What does it mean that the word of the Lord is tried? Well, it means that when God gives you promise, it will be tried. That's exactly right. You know, if God tells you that this will be the month of rest and the beginning of months, then that word is going to be tried. You know, all of a sudden there will be trouble come from nowhere. And you say, but the Lord said there will be rest. Well, yeah, because the word of the Lord is tried. When God gives you, a promise of greatness, like Joseph, the Lord was showing him dreams of how he would be, you know, great and so forth. Well, little did he know what all of that was going to. You see, God, you know, doesn't always have to tell us everything. And I tell you something, but not everything. So through his dreams, he believed and knew that he was going to be great. And greater than his brethren and so on. But God didn't tell him the part that where he was going to have to go through many years of sufferings before he got there. Where he was going to be abandoned, almost killed, sold into slavery, taken away far from his father and everything. And be in a foreign land for many years. You know, be in prison even. I mean, God didn't tell him that part. You know, so, and that was the word of the Lord that tried him. The word of the Lord tried that promise, but thank God that Joseph, he stood right there with the integrity of his heart. He wouldn't do any crazy stuff like, you know, Potiphar's wife trying to seduce him and stuff. He wouldn't do it. He said, I'm not going to do this wickedness against the Lord. I'm going to stand right here. Even though his dad wasn't there, his brethren weren't there. I mean, there was nobody, you know, that apparently he could be accountable to. He was in a foreign land by himself. I mean, you know. He had the temptation to do all this crazy stuff, but he didn't do it. The word of the Lord tried him in every circumstance, tried his faith, tried his integrity, tried his patience, tried everything. But yet he came out on top. Huh, glory to God. So that's what it means that the word of the Lord, you know, is tried. He's tried in our lives. Praise God. When the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, then all of a sudden, you know, he said, I will not put any of these sickness, and then all of a sudden you are sick. You know, the word of the Lord will be tried. When the Lord said, this sickness is not to death, then the man will die. That word will be tried. And see whether the people will continue to believe that that man, because the Lord said it's not sickness unto death, and he died. That means he's coming out of there. Will they still believe? Well, we don't know, but Jesus showed it to them. They were doubting it in their hearts. The master said, this man's death, sickness not to death, but now he died. What does that mean? Well, and Jesus said, well, I was glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. I'm going to show you this part that you haven't seen. Call someone out from the grave. That's right. I'm going to show you that part. Praise the Lord. You know, so the word of the Lord is tried. Hallelujah. And not only is the word of the Lord tried, he is also a buckler. The Lord will keep you in place, you know. You know how we use a girdle and, you know, fastener or seatbelt or this and that, you know, to put things in place? Well, that's what a buckler is. Buckle up. I tell you, hey, buckle up. Well, that's to keep you in place when things are shaking, you know, the buckler. You know, keep you in place, anchored on his law. Be right there. Who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? You know, that was this man's testimony. There was no God that he knew other than the Lord. And there was no rock that he knew that he could hide, you know, hiding from all the troubles other than the Lord. It is God that girded me with strength. That's right. And maketh my way to be perfect. Just like God's way is perfect. Show me thy way, O Lord, that I may know thee. That's what Moses prayed. Well, the Lord will show me his way, and he will teach me that way so that I may know him. And he will make my way perfect. He will make my feet also like hinds' feet. You know, I can run. He can set me upon, you know, high places. My goodness, you know, I was watching this nature series, and I saw this, I don't know, a reindeer or something, or a hind or whatever. The thing leaped across a long distance. I mean, it's like, my goodness, just leaped over something. I'm like, man, these things can leap and jump like this? Well, the Lord will make my feet like hinds' feet, set you upon your high places. That's right. This is David's testimony, and it can be yours too. We can receive strength from these testimonies. And here's what he said. He said, look, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel can be broken by my hands. People talk about Samson in the Bible, you know, how that he had power to do all these great things. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he could break, you know, bow of steel. He could do all kinds of things. He could chase 1,000 foxes. He could do all kinds of things. I mean, this man was absolutely amazing, you know. And, you know, they copied these stories, you know, like Superman and all these things and so forth, you know, because, you know, they got this inspiration from all these stories in the Bible. But nobody ever knew that David could do these things. This is hidden. I mean, how can you bend a bow of steel with your hands? Well, David said, I can. God, the Lord will strengthen my hands and I can bend it. Glory to God. This man could go up against a lion and bother him at all. You take something that's mine. We'll see about that. You know, I'm going to get it back. A lion, and he can go down. It was just a young, you know, man in his early teens when the lion took something from him. And he went after the lion. There's no dad, no brothers, nobody to help him. But that didn't bother him no bit. You know, one bit. You take something that's mine? No way. I'm getting it back. He went after the lion, hand-to-hand combat with a lion. And he came out on top. God, what was his? The same thing, a bear. And when that bear rose up against him, it was like 9 feet tall. Pounded his chest like that. David said, well, I'm not scared. I don't mean anything. Keep back what is mine. Hallelujah. How can you go into hand-to-hand combat with a lion or even a bear like that and get something that he has taken? A lion is not going to give up its prey. Neither is a bear. But, you know what? Give up or not, David's going to take it back. I mean, this was the kind of person and, you know, kind of attitude and posture that he had in his life. He can do these things. He said, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand had holding me up, and thy gentleness had made me great. He knew where his greatness came from. He knew, understood it. That's why he wasn't struggling to be anything. Even when he was anointed king, and yet the current king was trying to kill him, David did not take matters into his hands. He just waited his time. He knew it's the Lord that anointed him. Even Jonathan knew it. You know, and Jonathan, it will help him. Other people knew it too. And even Saul, he knew it. He just didn't want to accept it. And he told Jonathan, his son, he said, look, you already know that this young man that you are helping is going to be king over your head, and he's taking your place. It wasn't Jonathan's place. It's God to give, and God gave it to David. And David understood it. Jonathan understood it, you know, and David himself understood it, but he wasn't going to take matters into his hand. He let things be. Had opportunity to kill his enemies, but he wouldn't do it. He said, it's the gentleness of the Lord that will make me great. Praise the Lord. Now thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, like the lion and the dragon, and the bear and anything else. And even sometimes the Philistines, Goliath and different things. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I wounded them, so that they would not be able to rise. They are falling under my feet. You know how he used to say things like, nations rise up against me and all of these things. They pass me about with as bees. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy. You know, this man, there's nothing that, he didn't think that he could win. Didn't matter, whether it was one Goliath. It didn't matter whether he was a lion. It didn't matter whether he was a bear. It didn't even matter whether he was nations. Listen to this, Psalm 118 and verse 10. All nations come pass me about. Don't matter. But in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. Come up against me, but I will destroy them. And this is a prophetic statement. David is speaking here for Israel, prophetically. You cannot look all the nations, and they will eventually, it'll be the stumbling block for all nations. They'll gather against Israel eventually, all of them, many nations, but in the name of the Lord, Israel will always come out on top. Now, Israel is not perfect by any means, but, God has chosen to protect them, And so he's talking about this. He said, look, they compass me about, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees, and they're quenched as the fire of thorns. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Now, this man, he called the Lord his strength always. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's my deliverer. He's my strength. He's even my song. He didn't just say, I will sing unto the Lord. He said that many places. But now he's even saying, the very God is my song himself. And he has become my salvation. Not just that the Lord will give me salvation and save me from my enemies, but the Lord himself is my salvation. You can step up your relationship with the Lord into this kind of posture that God is my salvation. God is my rock. God is my strength. God is my song, and so forth. That was the way he lived his life. He knew that the Lord could bring him out of any situation. I will not be afraid. But he said, look, in any case, what time I'm afraid, well, then I will look unto the Lord, and I will trust in his word, and in his word will I praise him, and things like that. And he knew how to encourage himself. He said, look, I wounded them. They were not able to rise. They're falling under my feet. Now, this is what you must do for the enemies that come against you in the spirit. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but, Dagon fell before the ark. Well, you also and the stump was left on the ground, and God gave you, God has let the devil fall before you. He said, behold, I see Satan fall like lightning. Luke 10 and 18. And you know, when he fell, you know, it's on the ground. Now you stomp him down. take no prisoners. Crush him. Finish him off. You know, that's what the psalmist is saying here. Look, the Lord brought them down and I crushed them so that they could not even rise up again. You know, the Lord will cause the spirit of Dagon to fall always before the ark, and you can crush him down. You leave the stump there for you to stomp him down. You know, praise God. Now, Jesus, he finished his part on the cross. And he said, behold, now I have the keys of hell and death. And also he said, look, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. You know, so if we don't know how to use that power, the devil will always come there and try something else. You know, to see if he can get away with lying and stealing and usurping. But we're not going to let him do it. We know our place in the Lord. And God will guide us with strength unto the battle. He said, look, I wounded them so that they were not able to rise. They're falling under my feet. Thou, O Lord, hast guarded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Hallelujah. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Well, you know, now, if you look at this in the natural realm, you might still be thinking that way. But, you know, Jesus changed all of that when he came. He said, look, don't be thinking evil concerning your enemies. You know, that was then, but this is now. He said, look, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, love your friends and hate your enemies. He said, but I tell you, a new standard. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. You know, some people are still living in those days. There are some Psalms here where the devil, you know, David or anybody else pray against their enemies. And some people, the devil will still deceive people that, oh, you call down fire on you. You know, there's a whole group that, you know, all they do is call down fire on their enemies and all that nonsense. You know, even the disciples of Jesus, they wanted to do that. Shall we call fire down on them? Because they went to a place and they, you know, Jesus was preaching and they were preaching and the people did not believe. They just turned their backs against the Lord. And said, well, let's call fire down on them. And Jesus knew they could do it too. But he said, no, you don't know what kind of spirit that is. You know, we don't call fire down on people. Just because Elijah did it and just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. I show you a new standard. Hallelujah. Turn the other cheek. They didn't want any part of that. They were called sons of thunder. You know, their own is, look, let's call fire down these people and let's just destroy them all. You know, but Jesus said, no, that's not how you do it. You know, you show the spirit, be ye children of your heavenly Father. You know, all that calling down stuff, fire and all of that, we're changing all that. You know, we're not doing that anymore. We don't do that stuff anymore. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are no longer praying fire down on our enemies. We're no longer asking God to persecute them, let the angel of the Lord chase them, let them do all this. We're not praying anymore like that. That was then. This is now. You know, for those that hate you, Jesus said, love them, pray for them, even that, you know, despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the commandment of the New Testament, the new way, a higher way. You know, so let's not be praying over our enemies that evil should come to them. We don't do that stuff anymore. You know, and if that's still in your heart, you need to repent. You know, that's not how we do stuff anymore. Anybody that's still doing that, they need to repent and come out of that posture. Today, we pray for our enemies. Now, let's read and try to finish this up. He said, look, you know, thou hast given me the neck of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried and there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then I beat them small as a dust before the wind, and I just cast them out of dirt in the streets. Now thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people that made me to be head, ha, makote na boshalia, head over the heathen, a people. people. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Prophetically, I declare that for everyone that's believing this lesson today. God will raise up people to serve you. Hallelujah. Even when they think they want to do you evil, it will turn out that they're actually serving you. Praise God. Haman thought to do Mordecai evil. And he thought to say, even his friends, they told him, Mordecai, he's just one man. Don't worry. You're going to stretch forth your hand only on one person. Kill them all. Kill all the Jews. Kill all his tribe and everything. You know, and so in his heart, he said, not just one man. I'll kill them all. But with his own very mouth, the person that he thought to kill, he was the one that served Mordecai. Didn't the psalmist say, the Lord set a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and your enemies will serve you on that table. Hallelujah. And when it came time for the Lord to raise up this Mordecai, who would not bow down to Haman, God set it up such that the king could not sleep. And on the night when he couldn't sleep, the angel of the Lord troubled his sleep. He couldn't sleep. He said, get me something to read. Well, they brought him the Chronicles, and he was reading. He found a place where Mordecai had certified, the king, and saved them from insurrection and the people that were plotting plots against the king more than once or twice. And they wrote it there, but he said, what was done for this man that did this thing? And exposed this conspiracy and so forth. I said, nothing. I said, I'm going to do something about it right now. The Lord is the one that will do these things. And when it was time for the Lord to bless Mordecai, he said, who is in the court? Right there at that time, Haman was coming to come and ask for authority to destroy Mordecai and the Jews. Beautiful story. God setting a table before you in the presence of your enemies and causing them to serve you on that table. And Mordecai, Haman, he came there trying to get permission to kill all the Jews. And the king asked him, Haman, come on in. Now, if the king, wants to bless somebody that he delights in, what should he do? Haman thinking that who else would the king bless other than myself? I'm the only one that the queen invited to this banquet and everything. And I'm the best man here. Say, I'll tell you what, king, here's what you're going to do. And he piled it on. Let him have your second chariot. Give him your ring. Take your robe. Give him this. Let his name be high on the land. Proclaim him as this and that. Let him ride in the chariot. Do all of these things. And let everybody bow the knee before him. And the king said, is that a fact? Say, yeah. Are you finished? He piled it on, because he thought it was he that the king was blessed. And he kept saying, thou hast well said. Now you go and see to it and do all those things, like you said, and diminish nothing from it to Mordecai. Glory to God. Even as you have said it, so go do it. Let there be not a single thing diminished from what you have said. And my goodness, God brought shame upon the man that wanted to kill Mordecai. And he was the one that proclaimed greatness upon Mordecai. He was the one that caused Mordecai to be promoted out of these very words of his own mouth. Glory to God. Our people that knew you not, hated you, will even serve you. God can do it and turn the tables in your favor. God's way is in the whirlwind. And he can change things around, cause the people that hate you to even bless you. Mordecai was right there, doing and serving the Lord, and this man plotting to kill him, but the Lord changed the situation. And this Haman became an unsuspecting, destiny helper. Yeah. He was a would-be destiny destroyer, destroy Mordecai and the Jews. But God unsuspectingly to him turned him around to be a destiny helper. And all of the people that tried to kill Joseph, all of his brothers, that tried to kill him and do all this evil to him, they helped his destiny forward. Hallelujah. God will turn your would-be destiny destroyers into destiny helpers. And the people that know you now, they will even serve you. But that's what the psalmist said here. They serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. Strangers themselves even will submit themselves unto me. Strangers shall flee away and fade away and be afraid out of their closets, because I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Now, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God. You know, we sing that song. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It comes from this verse. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Now, David, he personalized his relationship with God. He was always saying, my God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my. He was always my. He wasn't just the Lord and everybody's God. Yeah, it's the Lord, but he's my God. Hallelujah. So, is the Lord your God? Well, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, is the Lord your shepherd? He could have said the Lord is the great shepherd of the sheep. Yeah, we know that. But, you know, he personalized his relationship. He's my shepherd. He's my deliverer. He's my song. He's my rock. About him will I sing all day long. He's become not only my song, not only my salvation, but even my song. The song of the Lord is in my mouth all day long, the psalmist said. And he said, look, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. Delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, and lifted me up above those that rise up against me. And delivered me from the violent man like Saul. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, even among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. You know, David was a man that commanded. He said, look, not only in the congregation of the righteous, but declare his people his glory even among the heathen. On your job, in your workplaces, don't be silent about the glory of God. Don't even care whether they understand what you are saying or not. Just say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They say, what's that all about? Well, I say, well, if you knew, you know, what he did for me, and if he did it for you, you'll be shouting too. Praise the Lord. You'll be saying praise the Lord also if you receive the blessings that he has given to me. You testify. You know, that's what testifying means. You talk of his goodness. He said, look, I will talk of the goodness. I will make mention not only the great congregation, but also even among the heathen. I will publish the name of the Lord, and I will ascribe greatness unto our God. You know, I don't care whether they like it or don't like it. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of this world, they are quick to tell of the evil that they did. They don't care. They got around, you know, in office places and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Tell all the crazy stuff they did over the weekend and so on. Or you can tell them also, you know, I went to the house of God and the glory of God came and it was powerful. And I saw someone that was sick, healed. Power of God, you tell them. And they'll be, some of them I laugh and scorn, and some of them I say, wow, I want to hear you more about that. One day they will remember that you said it and they'll come. Someday they will need prayer. They'll seek you out. Say, that stuff that you were talking about, is that real? I say, oh, absolutely. Well, you say, well, you know, come and see. You know, we testify, we stand for the Lord, make mention of his goodness. Sing praises among the heathen, he said, and sing praises to thy name. The Lord, you know, has given great deliverance to his king. He has shown mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. You know, in Psalm 89, the Lord said, look, I have found David. I have anointed and poured my oil upon him and so forth. The enemy shall not exact upon him. And the Lord, he called David. He chose him. Yes. And the Lord has promised us the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. He said, the mountains may depart. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The hills may be removed. But my kindness will never be removed from you. Neither the covenant of my peace that I put upon you will not be removed. Even though, you know, it looks like it's removed. Don't believe that stuff. The devil is the one that will tell you that the Lord doesn't care. He's removed his hand, good hand upon you. Look at all these things that are coming upon you. Well, all these things happen to everybody. You know, That's what the writer said. He said, look, you know, good and bad happens to all alike. Vanity, everybody. Well, you know, as long as you're under this sky, you're in the world, good things will happen, bad things will happen. Good things happen to bad people, you know, and bad things happen to good people. But the difference is, for those of us that are in the Lord, that have the Holy Spirit is the source of our strength. The same calamities may happen to both the righteous and the evil person. But the Lord, he will deliver the righteous out of all his troubles. Glory to God. Many, Psalm 34 and verse 19, he said, are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, not a few. You know, when I was a young man, my dad always quoted that scripture. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them. And I'm like, I used to think, why? You know, I mean, I wasn't saved then. I was just a young boy and so forth. My dad always would say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of all. And I always wondered, why should the afflictions of the righteous be many? If they were righteous, why should they be afflicted even? And I always questioned that in my heart. I never asked my dad, but I always thought about it, you know. And I was like, no. And I grew up thinking, no, I'm not going to be afflicted. No, I'm not going to be like that. But yes, it will come, whether you want it to be or not. These things, when I grew up later, as I grew up, I discovered, this is what the man was talking about. You know, for the most part, you may have a life of quietness and blessings and rest. I mean, that's a blessing of the Lord. You know, when I think of his goodness, it makes me want to shout. You know, but, you know, just as sure as there is night and day, you're going to have those testings and those trials. There's not a single person that can go through it, through life, without having that. The times of joy will be there, Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. In the days of prosperity and joy and light, rejoice. But then sure, just as surely as that is there, you will also experience the days of adversity and the days of trouble. But what are you going to do in those days? Well, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The Lord responded from heaven. He thundered with his voice. Coals of fire were kindled before him. The Lord sent forth his arrows. He discomfited them. Glory to God. You know, now we talked about that in the first part of this lesson, how that David's prayer shook, you know, things, caused God to shake the heavens, shake the earth, do everything like that. Because in his integrity of his heart, and because he knew how to praise the Lord, his prayer had power with God. Can your prayer have power with God? Can you be called a prince? There was a man called a prince with God. In fact, one day, you know, his name used to be called Jacob. And he found, you know, an angel of the Lord, and he wrestled with the angel and said, you're not going anywhere. Nobody is going anywhere until, you know, you bless me. And the man said, let me go. He said, no. You know, and so, you know, he grabbed a hold of the guy and said, you got to put a blessing. And he said, well, you can read that story in Genesis 32. And he said to him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Genesis 32 and verse 28. But Israel, because you are a prince with God. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And this is the beauty of God. When you get into a wrestling match with the Lord in prayer, the Lord will actually give you the grace to win. Praise God. And he give you power. He wants you to be a wrestler, you know, be a prayer warrior. You know, don't be a pushover. Stay right there and fight and win. Win the victory. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when things are good, we may not know how to fight. But you must fight that good fight, whether things are good or evil. In the days of prosperity, that's when you should strengthen yourself for the days of evil. Because as surely as prosperity was there, evil is coming. I'm not a predictor or prophet of doom, but we're using wisdom. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, prepared for it. The simple, they pass on and they are punished, but they're not prepared. You got to be prayed up, prepare for the storm that's coming. you know, and so forth. Let's get up in the morning. Let's cover our lives with the blood of Jesus. Bring your children to the altar every morning. Bring their name, whether they live with you or wherever they are. Bring their name, cover them with the blood of Jesus. You know, put the shield of God around them. Declare these things in the womb of the morning. Don't take it. Don't stand by and let the devil, you know, ruin the day before we start crying to the Lord. You know, get in there and shape the day. Ha! Glory be to God by the word of the Lord. You declare to yourself, the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. The Lord, you know, has given me a goodly heritage. You know, that's right. You declare it to yourself in the morning. Don't wait until evil happens, then we start crying to the Lord. Now, if we learn to cry more to the Lord, even in the time of rest, and build and fortify our faith, build up your most holy faith. In the time of rest is when you do that. When you are, you know, sometimes when we have trouble, you know, it may be so bad that you may not, you'll be squeezed and pressed that you may not even be able to pray. But that stuff that you've built up will come out of there. Hallelujah. So during the days of rest was when Asa fortified and built. We read that story a couple of weeks ago. So also in this moment and these days and season of rest, let's fortify and let's build. You know, strengthen yourself. Build up your most holy faith, saith the Lord. That's right. In the morning, build up. In the afternoon, build up. In the evening, do not let up. Build up again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because one day, say with joy, we draw wells out of the, I mean, we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Someday you're going to need to draw that thing out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's our lesson today. And I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pray again over the room and ask the Lord to renew our strength. You know, now let's remember that we are not just passers-by here on earth. You know, we are the children of the Lord. And we can be warriors like David. And he knew where he stood with the Lord, you know. And he knew the Lord can strengthen his hand for battle. You know, I can go up. I can do it. Joshua and Caleb said. Others said we can't do it. You know, so are you of the stock of Jacob that can wrestle with the Lord and prevail? Are you the stock of Joshua and Caleb that believe they can take the land at once? And they were not even afraid because they were giants or anything. It bothered them at all. They said, we can do it because the Lord is with us. The strength is departed from them. The Lord is our God. We'll have them for lunch, they said. They are bread for us. Well, others said, we can't do it. Well, are you of the stock of this same Caleb that many years later, 45 years later, he was still saying, I'm still as strong now at age 85 as I was at age 40. Well, can you be as strong like that? Do you have power with God? You know, Job, God asked him some questions. Can you raise up your voice and cause the channels of snow and everything to be broken up and come down to you? Well, absolutely. If you know how to do it, David did it. By praising the Lord and knowing how to call upon the Lord, telling God how great God is and so forth, God stood up for him. He said his right hand, his holy arm have got you into victory. When you begin to praise the Lord like that, when you tell God how great he is and that there is none like him, and I say, rock is your shield, is your buckler, is your son, and it's your this and that, the Lord will rise up and will fight for you. May the Lord stand up on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Cause all his goodness to pass before you. Send the angel of the Lord before you and give you rest. This is the month of rest that the Lord has chosen. Called to be a month of months, the beginning of months for us. Even yesterday, he told us of coming into a place of rest. The ark coming on the 17th day of the month, resting on top of the Mount Ararat. Now, whatever we are going through, whatever we are being through, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Your salvation cometh. Behold, O daughter of Zion, thy God cometh, and his salvation with him. Now, Lord, strengthen everyone that is in this place today. Cause our hearts to be glad by the word of the Lord. And let our heads be lifted up. And let the hands that hang down be strengthened. Let the feeble knees receive strength. And let us pass on over. Because the Lord said, you're going over to the other side. Pass through the waters. Pass through the fire. You're coming out on the other side. The Lord is with you. Praise God. And we're not going to spend all our days fighting fires you know, and wading through the storms. It's going to be days of rest. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord is calling for at this time. A season of refreshing, a time of rest for you and for yours, for your household. The voice of those that will make merry. The voice of those that will say, praise the Lord. Not the voice of sadness and sorrow and wailing and weeping, but the voice of joy and the voice of gladness shall be heard in your tents in the name of Jesus. The Lord will cause the goodness of the Lord to pass before you. The Lord will change your story. Hallelujah. You can change and turn the bitter waters to sweetness. The Lord will put a song of victory in your mouth, draw you out of many waters, get you out of the miry clay and the quicksand, put you on the rock and give you a new song. Only he can do in Jesus' name. Now, the Lord bless and keep you, cause his face shine upon you always, strengthen you out of Zion, strengthen you out of even in the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God be with you to strengthen you and cause your light continue to shine. The enemy put his hands around that flame, try to cover it up, but it burnt him. Yeah, I saw and I looked and I saw it. You know, he cannot cover up your life. A flame of fire. And you kindle. The Bible says the house of Jacob shall be a flame, the house of Joseph, a fire, and they kindle and burn. You know, the house of Esau for stubble in the name of Jesus. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, bless the Lord your God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.